Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting and highlighting business leaders in our area.
Welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I am merely the host, Mike Salmon, alongside my comedic sidekick, apparently, Stephen Julien. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Mike, welcome back.
Yes, good to be back.
I know we're timeless, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I know. I just got back in town two nights ago after being gone, 3.5 weeks?
It felt like 9.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
I wept.
I'll tell you, though.
Every Thursday, I wept.
When you're gone and you go overseas to a country like I did,
yes,
you really appreciate the United States.
Well,
and the modern conveniences that we have here and the things that we take for granted.
And if only a patriotic holiday like July 4th were right around the corner, that would mean even more.
Yeah, good point. So, well done.
We're glad you're back. I'm very glad you're back.
By the way, for our guest, I was in Azerbaijan for 3.5 weeks working at the European Games. So
go to YouTube and search Mike Salmon and you'll get some great highlights.
I did. Some great table tennis and some great 3-on-3 basketball.
It was awesome. You did a good job. Mike. You did a very good job.
That's what I do when I'm moonlighting.
You are award-winning.
Thank you very much. All right, we've got some award-winning folks here in the studio, some great companies joining us from Red Cloud Auctions and Bullseye Auctions. It's George Franco and Rick Sammons from Brain Corps of Georgia, Melissa Hergert and Philip Teal. And from my favorite place, Dave & Buster's. I love that place. I spend a lot of money in that place.
My kids and my wife and I, that's a great place to go hang out.
Stacy Pruitt from Dave & Buster's is joining us as well. But let's start with George and Rick. George with Red Cloud Auctions and Rick with Bullseye Auctions. Did I get that right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell us about what you guys do, George.
Well, I am a benefit fundraising auctioneer. 25, 35, you able to buy 35, 45, 45, you able to buy 45, 55, you able to buy 55. Somebody raise their hand and say, 50. I'm trying to sell something here. That's what I do. I raise funds for nonprofits and schools. It's a great time for me, for the crowd, for the audience. We raise millions of dollars and every year. I'm part of the NAA, the National Association of Auctioneers. And one of my best friends there, one of the great lady named Kathy Kingston, $16 billion raised annually in fundraising auctions in this country. There is a great growth in altruism in this country, and people in this country really do like to give to their major causes. So I like to connect those folks with those causes, and we have a great time doing it. So that's what I do. My partner here, Rick Sammons, works with Bullseye Auctions on the other side of the equation, which is real estate and assets, and I'll let him talk about that.
Wow, I got to do a better job of selling myself. I hate going behind that because that is impressive.
Just talk slow and clearly, and we'll like it.
That's great. George is a great guy, and he is. He's one of the best at what he does in the benefit side. And on at Bullseye Auction and Appraisal, we handle liquidation of business assets and work with banks and lenders and things like that. Don't do a lot of the estate sales with private sellers. Work mostly with corporate America. And we also do appraisal work, so we can come in and tell a bank what some of the things are worth before they swoop in and claim the collateral again.
Well, sometimes these aren't little things that you are auctioning off. How do you get people to bid typically large sums of monies on the things, whether it be for charity to raise money or for some of the items that you have, Rick? How do you do that?
Well, it's auction in itself is all about psychology. You got to have the right psychology. So you've got to generate that excitement, and it starts long before the auction day. You know, the marketing of the auction, the publicity that you can get. So you've got to have eye candy, and you got to get the crowds out. One of our most successful sales was a sale that we had about 2 or 3 months ago, and it was a golf course, and we had some really sexy John Deere equipment. It all looked brand new, and it was well maintained. And you talk about every farmer and every guy that wants a nice John Deere piece in Georgia was all over it. And we had 300 or 400 people there just clamoring for this equipment.
Is there a difference between how you auction off things and when it's for nonprofits, how you auction off things? What's the difference?
There's a big difference. When Rick is auctioning and we're doing things as Bullseye Auctions and we're selling assets, people are there to find an asset for their business.
It's typically something tangible that they can see.
When you're selling, let's say, a trip to Mexico or a cruise in Alaska for a nonprofit, you're trying to get people to pay, and we're always trying to get the best dollar. But when it comes to nonprofits and schools and fundraisers, you're trying to get people to connect emotionally to that asset of that nonprofit that you're working with. You're raising money for Two Tails, which is a nonprofit I work with Animal Rescue. You're raising money for the Gwinnett Children's Shelter, which is a nonprofit I work for, raising funds for the shelter. You tell folks, you are here to give to your favorite cause. Why should you give more than what it's worth? Because you're here to help the folks that we're talking about. We, for example, money out of thin air. I love this concept. I went to the shelter and I said, what are we going to sell? You know, trips, jewelry, not my favorite thing, jewelry, but a couple of Adirondack chairs. Get the kids to put their fingerprints on it, sign the chair, and you sell the chair. It isn't the chair you're buying. It's the love of the kids you're buying, $1,500 a chair. That's a way to make money out of thin air.
Well, you kind of said something that I think separates is that you pay more than what it's worth. Typically, if you're selling that John Deere tractor, someone's going to say, that's not worth that. I'm not going to bid. Where something that you're bidding on or you're trying to get people to bid on, it's more of an emotional bid.
I'm sorry, Rick. There's a real connection to altruism and dollars. And what we've noticed in the nonprofit world and raising funds for folks that need the money is you've got a larger divide of the haves and have-nots. The have-nots are struggling. The haves have a lot right now. And those that have the altruism in their heart, they're looking for a place to give their funds. And if you can honor them with that approach to say you can help at your favorite spot, at your favorite charity, people do respond. And there's a lot of heart in this country.
And what I was going to say was on the business side of it, a more traditional auction, you know, my favorite folks to see at an auction are two guys with their spouses or their girlfriends, because they're not going to lose. If the girlfriend or the spouse wants that item, I don't care what it is, they're not going to lose. They've got to stick their chest out and show off a little bit. So we've had some successful auctions that way.
And that always happens at the fair and the charity fundraisers. You'll get two guys, exactly, Rick, that are competing against each other. And they know that piece of artwork. They know that trip is worth $6,000. They'll take it to $10,000 or $12,000. Great example, Our Lady of Assumption Catholic School. The Queen Bee of the Year, parking for the one spot where you bring your kids to school and everybody gets to the front of the line. I thought, okay, we'll start at $1,000, $1,200, $1,500, $2,000, $3,500, $4,500, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 twice. And I'm going, $10,000. So that's what I mean by when people want to give to the right cause, they will give from their heart. And, you know, if they've got the bucks in their pocket, some people just don't flinch at $10,000 because it is what they love, and so they can afford it. And it's a great feeling.
Might make the school think they can raise their tuition a little bit. So, Rick, let me ask you a question. When you first said business auctions and appraisals, and you talked about banks seizing property, and you come in and do, I think that's the obvious thing people think about, a business in distress, and you guys need to come in and help deal with it. But talk a little bit about some of the non-standard auctions that you might do for people who might be listening, and also the appraisal work. Is there any appraisal work that's done instead of just appraising before an auction?
Sure. Well, we do a lot of work for banks where they're trying to meet their SBA compliance, which is Small Business Administration. And there's certain rules and regulations the bank has to adhere to meet those demands by the SBA. So we may go in, and it may not be a situation where the bank is going to seize the collateral. They just want to know, is it all still there? Is it all still functioning? Is there anything added? They may have a blanket lien on the business to where not only did they give them a $500,000 loan on those items that are listed on their portfolio, but anything that comes in after the fact until that loan is paid off belongs to the bank. And many of these borrowers don't realize that. They don't realize they have a blanket lien. So, you know, they're doing their homework to make sure, is there anything else in there worth you know, more than the collateral that we have in there now. So
is there ever a scenario in a business auction where it's not done by the bank, but the business itself is saying, we want to close this plant, or we want to reduce the number of stores, or, you know, we have excess inventory, anything like that, where you would be helpful?
Yeah, absolutely. We do the liquidation sales, and you know, we've done sales where we've had a chain of furniture stores across the Eastern Seaboard, and they wanted to close all of their stores down, but trying to do all stores simultaneously would be a bit much. So they would have a liquidation sale at each location and then ship all of their goods to Atlanta. And finally, we ended up with one store in Atlanta that we had one big giant auction of everything that was left.
George, I wanted to ask you a question. I wanted to give you a little bit of a chance to talk a little bit about the art of being an auctioneer. But before you get into that, I was really curious, how did it start for you? Where did you get your start and kind of go? Because everybody's, I don't know about everybody, but I think a lot of people have tried to talk that fast. And everybody can imitate an auctioneer, but you can't, because it really is an art. How did you get your start?
About 4 years ago, I bolted out of bed, told Debbie, my now wife, said, I'm going to be an auctioneer. She said, what are you talking about?
And that's why she's not the now wife.
She is the wife.
That's another story.
She puts up with me. I'm a reporter at Fox 5 News. I think people know that if they know Fox 5 News. I'm a reporter. My boss knows I do this. He loves auctions. But I thought, where can I take it to the next level? I'm already doing TV. I've done radio. I've been in front of a camera. I've done lots of master of ceremonies. I've been the MC. What is that next level? And I found auctions. And the thing about auctions is, in the South, there's a great history and heritage to auctions. When somebody said, Colonel Franco, I was like, oh my God, I'm so honored. In the Civil War, after the Civil War, after Sherman came through this area, the spoils of war were literally sold at auction. So the term colonel became attached to auctioneers. You've got families in Georgia that go way back, and there's multi-generational auctioneers. So no, I didn't just wake up. Yeah, well, actually, I did wake up and say I want to be an auctioneer. But for the first 3 years, Rick knows this, I was knocking on every little auction house in Georgia saying, can I do your auction? Can I do your auction? And you've done radio. You've been in front of a camera. You know what it's like when you get up there and you feel like, oh my God, give me the samurai sword, because I did not like that performance. No, it was not an easy thing for me to get up there and say 25, 35, you able to buy. First, you got to know the numbers. Second, you got to get comfortable with them. Then you have to get in front of a crowd, and then somehow you have to convince people to give you, and the cause you're asking for, thousands of dollars. And my wife says, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. I just kind of go somewhere else that I think that I put good in the vessel that I have. And that's what I really love about these benefit auctions. I really actually do well raising funds for somebody else. Let's just say we see enough bad news. I feel it every day. I need another place to go to.
Well, and you talked about the psychology so much. Yes. And both of you guys can talk about this. So much comes down to psychology. You got to read people.
Right.
You got to read the room. You got to know the temperature, what's going on.
Absolutely.
How much do you need to push? How much do you need to get out of the way and let them
well,
fight?
Well, and I always tell this to the nonprofits and schools I work with. You prep your audience, just as Rick does in marketing. We prep the audience ahead of time. It's okay to tell them, by the way, we're raising funds for your favorite nonprofit. It's better to tell them that at the beginning than say, hey, we're having a party. Can you help us raise funds? No, tell them we're raising funds, and we need you there, and let's have a party versus let's have a party and help us raise money.
And Rick, the psychology of doing a business auction is everybody there wants to feel like they're getting a great deal.
Well, that's right. And you know, an auction in itself is not going to sell a property or an item. There's got to be, especially with real estate, whenever we put a sign in a front yard for auction, we try to have a heading like bank owned or by order of trustees, or, you know, what, there needs to be a story. Because when somebody, if you're driving down the road in a neighborhood and there's four houses for sale and one of them has an auction sign and three of them have a for sale by broker sign, which one are you going to call first? You're going to call the auction, because you've got that image of, you know, there's blood in the water, I'm going to get a great deal and all that. And so we want to try and convey that image. We want to try and enhance that as best we can. And we're not saying anything that's not true, but we certainly want to play up any psychology that's available.
And yet, if I may add this one thought, isn't it interesting how the best pieces of art sell for millions of dollars at auction? So there is already that mindset out there with the community that if it's a premium property or asset, it will sell for a very high level. And so to me, maybe it's just my little mission that I don't see anything wrong with folks looking at a real estate market that's saying, you know, you can sell your house in a quick order and close a lot faster if you go to auction. And if there's demand for that property, where the price will go is up to the buyer.
We're talking with George Franco with Red Cloud Auctions. He helps auction off things for nonprofits as far as schools, children's shelters, and corporations raising money for those great causes. And Rick Sammons with Bullseye Auctions, and they pretty much auction off real estate and other assets. We've got so many questions we could ask. We're going to have you come back at some point because we could talk forever.
Thank you.
But I do want to ask you, as far as one of the questions I have, maybe a nonprofit or a business, they're thinking, well, I'll just get a local celebrity. I'll just get someone to volunteer. I know I'm teeing you up here for this question, but why should they get a professional like one of you guys to handle their auction?
Well, let me speak from the benefit auctioneer point of view, and I guess I could say I'm a local celebrity. I don't like that word. I'm on TV as a reporter. But when you hire somebody who doesn't know how to do an auction, you're losing money. You're leaving thousands of dollars on at the table. And also, they may not know what a fund-a-need is. A fund-a-need is where you ask people, we've sold 7 items, 10 items at the live auction. We've got 300 people here who would like to donate at your level that you feel comfortable with. And I will ask, who will give me $5,000 for this great cause? $5,000 in the house a couple times, $2,500, $1,000, $500, you know, $250, $100.
Psychologically, people are like, I don't want it to get that low. Let me.
Right. And at $100, and maybe I'll raise my take a little later, but at $100, I'll very ceremoniously throw a $100 bill in the air and say, who'll join me and give great money to this great cause? So I'll, you know, give my $100. So folks really are there, because if you don't hire the professional, you're leaving money on the table. As they say, it doesn't cost to hire a professional auctioneer. It pays.
Gotcha. Well, for those that would like to find out more about your services, give us all any contact information where they can find out more about your companies.
I'm at Red Cloud Auctions, like the color red, like the cloud, redcloudauctions.com. Rick?
And then I'm at bullseyeauctions.com. And we've got a Facebook page as well. We update there, and give us a call. We'd love to help you out.
Great. George, Rick, thank you so much
for
joining us. And we'll have to have you come back sometime if that's okay.
It's been fun. Super. Definitely.
All right, great.
You know, Mike, before we go to our next guest, I have a confession to make, and that is that I actually love auctions. My first career was in a nonprofit, and one of the best fundraisers we ever did was an auction. So I can honestly say I love auctions. But love is what makes a Subaru. You can get big savings.
I was wondering where you were going
well,
with
you
this.
Well, you were thinking. So you can get big savings and enjoy our hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. You know, Mike, you should visit Subaru.com and join our family today. Come in and see the difference. And maybe you're already a Subaruist, because you are, because we are in the Subaru Gwinnett of Atlanta studios. Come in and see the difference. And follow Subaru of Gwinnett Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
Well done, Stephen. Well done. Our next guest now here on Gwinnett Business Radio come to us from Brain Corps of Georgia, Melissa Hergert and Phil Teal. Good morning, folks, and we appreciate you joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Tell us about your company, Brain Corps of Georgia. Give us the view from maybe 10,000 feet away.
Okay, Brain Corps Georgia, I own and operate, and we have an office in Marietta as well as Buford, Georgia. It is a brain training therapy. It's non-invasive, drug-free therapy to help regulate the brainwave patterns. So it's psychology-based, so it's kind of interesting that we got on the psychology topic, but it was created 40 years ago. Brain Corps is the software that we use. There's many softwares used, but Brain Corps is software we use. It was created by Dr. Guy Annunziata, and he went to Life University in Marietta, Georgia.
Okay. You mentioned brain training. Now, is this for people that have been injured or whatever, or just someone that just wants their brain to give them a little bit more you know, knowledge, or, you know, they want to be able to use it more, you know, wiser.
Right. So it's all the above. It's anyone with neurological disorders.
I could use it right away.
Everyone can use it.
You want to talk about teeing up a question, Mike?
Because I cannot.
Yep. Holy cow. That was teed up. I'm sitting over here trying not to.
Just pull it out of me.
So let's really let the professionals talk. And you and I are going to get out of the way and let her take that question.
Everyone can use it. I see people as young as 5 years old up to 75. So anyone with any neurological disorder, such as ADHD, autism, memory loss, depression.
There was a guy that was on a show yesterday. He said he had, and D'Arrell remembered this, he had CRS, can't remember stuff.
Oh, yeah, that happens, definitely. And it all starts in the brain. The brain controls the body. So, you know, when you get your brain working correctly the way it should, then symptoms start to go away. But it can also be used for peak performance. And that's why Phil's here today. He's a professional USA rugby player that uses it for peak performance in the game. So
you've been hitting the noggin probably more times than you remember.
I can't remember. That's how many times I've been hit in the noggin.
Well, when she talks about peak performance, Phil, talk about how brain training has helped with your peak performance.
Well, the biggest thing that I use brain training for, specifically with BrainCore, is for concussion symptoms and that sort of nature. I've had, you know, several concussions playing, coming from college football into professional rugby with the U.S. rugby team. And so that's my first and foremost thing that I'm doing, is trying to make sure that I can remember my daughter's name when I'm, you know, 31, you know, basically. The other thing is with peak performance is, you know, you have to make sure that you can stay calm in situations where you have 65,000-70,000 people that are screaming. You've got dudes that are bigger than me across from me trying to hit me, trying to knock me around, and you have to perform very small, sophisticated tasks with your hands, do things around the field. A lot of people think rugby is just a sport where you're banging into each other, but it's a very sophisticated athletic game. So you have to be able to remain calm, and Melissa will be able to tell you a little bit more about the actual, you know, brainwave patterns and things like that when you have to remain calm in stressful situations. But what we do together is we train my brain to stay calm and stay in a calm pattern. And by using patterns of reinforcement, we can keep my brain calm. So that way I can actually train my brain to do that without her training. It's a permanent change. It's a change that takes effect, you know, after a few sessions, and it lasts for a very long time with minimal tune-up. It's actually fantastic.
It's amazing stuff. Is this common? I mean, I've never heard of anything like this. Is there a lot of companies out there that do what you do, Melissa?
There are, actually. It's all really? Around the world. Okay. There's 150 BrainCore offices throughout the United States. And since 40 years ago, they found that it's called neurofeedback. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. Or you could also hear it as EEG biofeedback. So I didn't mention, but we actually do a brain mapping, which is a recording of the brainwave patterns. So it's kind of like getting an EKG done, but for the brain. So we're recording 12 different areas of the brain to figure out which areas are what we call dysregulated. So from there, we're able to use positive reinforcement using a system where you're watching the screen in front of you and you're getting a feedback according to your brainwave patterns. So when you're in the correct brainwave pattern, the screen in front of you is going to be lit up, or the movie's going to play, or the Pac-Man's going to move. And then when you're not in the correct brainwave pattern, the screen turns dark or Pac-Man stops. So that's telling the brain, hey, you need to work in this pattern, get back in that pattern, and it'll lighten up
all
again.
I could think, Steven, is if I'm tied, you know, hooked up to this thing, it's just going to be a black screen the whole time. That's how my brain works.
So, Melissa, I was going to ask, I'm sure there are, you said there are people that are doing this. I'm sure there are also people that would, you would call detractors, or people who hear it for the first time and go, oh, come on.
Yes.
So talk nicely, and I know you will, but talk a little bit to the detractors, not to try and convince them, but just to kind of defend what you've seen, what some of the results have been. Just talk a little bit and defend what you do.
Sure. I mean, we are a very medical-based society, and definitely medicine does work for certain issues. So totally not against medicine. But if there's a child on ADHD medication that doesn't have to be and they could use something like this, then I'm all for that. There's tons of research, clinical research, backing the efficacy of neurofeedback. So that's always, you know, I have a whole binder full for anyone that has a question. I set up at a lot of health fairs to promote the business. So I always have that available. And I could go right to the symptom and show, look at this double-blind study, you know.
So then let me ask the second side of that question. I have a child with ADHD. I have another child with Asperger's. And I am a parent who would say publicly, and I'm doing it now on the air, it does feel like the first and sometimes only answer is take this pill. Walk through to the end. What are you hoping to get as results? Is it just to get off medication, or is it also the idea of kind of peak performance? Kind of define that. Phil will define peak performance in playing rugby, but talk a little bit about for a child, what would you see? Okay, this is what we're trying to get to. This is the result.
Right. And it all depends on each family. So mm-hmm. some come in that just want the dosage lowered, and mm-hmm. but many do call in saying, I want my 6-8-year-old off this medication. She has no, he or she has no appetite, you know, moody, mm-hmm. not normal symptoms because of the medication usually. So my goal, of course, is to help them get to that point where they don't need the medication. Now, I am not a doctor, so I'm not allowed to say, hey, come off your medication. I work very closely with the prescribing doctor and with the family and make sure that they have the doctor informed of what's going on. Symptoms are what it's all based off of. So we're doing a metabolic checklist at the beginning along with the brain mapping. We're doing a history, family history, all kinds of information that needs to go into it to see if first the person is someone who would benefit from the therapy.
So you're really doing case by case.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's person by person. And I would think the family, especially with children, would kind of go, this is what we're hoping to see as a result.
Right.
More focus or less, you know, distractions or,
exactly.
or things like that.
And so far, I've owned my business for 2 years now. And so I've seen so many children, including a 6-year-old who was on ADHD medication, high school student who has been on since third grade and no longer takes it. Math grades are up. Like he even comes by to visit and say hi, you know, in my office. It's really great.
I wanted to ask, and normally I would ask the business owner, and you kind of talked about the first couple sessions, and I would say, okay, well, kind of take it through. If I show up first time, take me through it. But you brought Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to ask Phil, what was your experience like? What did it start like? And you know, kind of where did you start?
And what was your mindset too?
Were you
at the first critical of this and thinking, okay, this is not going to work? Or did you have a more of an open mind?
Actually, I had a pretty open mind about it, to be fair. I have a background in psychology. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. We'll be doing my PhD at some point.
Wait a minute. You're a smart rugby player.
I wouldn't say smart. Possibly educated, but not necessarily smart. There's a difference. But, you know, with Melissa, the biggest thing with her is
by the way, the rest of your rugby team's on line one. I want to talk to you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They can't count that high. Come on. Are you kidding me?
They all tried to get on one line, by the way. There's the joke.
With Melissa, the biggest thing that she does is she's going to make sure that you feel very comfortable when you come in, whether you're, you know, like Melissa said, a 6-year-old little boy or girl who's really uncomfortable with the whole process, or a 75-year-old woman who I've met, one of her 75-year-old clients who had insomnia for 20 years and didn't sleep more than 2 hours a night. And then the second session, she had to pull over because she was falling asleep while she was driving. She, you know, things like that. If you had, like you said, your child with ADHD or Asperger's, Melissa's going to make them feel so comfortable. I mean, you're getting a cap put on your head. There's goo going on in your head. All these things are going on. But the whole time, she's making the kids smile. She's making adults smile. So you go through the process of the QEEG. It takes about 15 minutes. And that's that EKG for the brain she was talking about. You're, you know, watching a screen while you're doing it. Then she gives you this big booklet, basically, that she breaks down into 5 or 6 things that you need to know, that she makes very, very comfortable, very, very upfront with you, doesn't hide anything, doesn't try to scare you, you know, let you know exactly what's going on. If there's not a lot going on, hey, maybe somebody's being medicated incorrectly. She can't say that, of course. Like she said, she's not a doctor, but she can say, hey, this is what this says is going on. Maybe you should talk to your doctor. Just have him take a look at this. From there, you come in, you know, you go back away, you think about it, she'll give you a call, let you know what's going on. Come back in for your first session, same thing, same smiling Melissa, same nice office. You know, you're watching a movie, you know, she loves to put on Pitch Perfect, she made me watch it. It's the movie where they sing and everything. I hated it at first, but it's awesome. Anna Kendrick rocks. Anyway, and then, you know, from session to session, you're just working on training your brain, and you're doing it in a situation, in an environment where you're so comfortable and relaxed that you don't feel like you're doing therapy. It's just, you're watching TV, or with me, you're playing Pac-Man. My best score is 158. If you guys want to come in and beat a minute 58 on Pac-Man, see if your brain's in alignment, you know, be my guest. You know, I will challenge you and try to beat it again. But that's what she does. She's the whole time with you and making sure that you're comfortable while you're getting serious, serious results.
If I could do 1.58, I might could beat you. That I think I could do.
What has been the reaction from your teammates? And again, Phil is a professional rugby player for USA Eagles. Have your teammates seen a difference in your performance?
I think that I've been a lot calmer in certain situations. I actually retired for about a year and a half before because I had some nerve issues, some concussion issues, things like that after the last World Cup. And then about a year and a half ago, I came back again and was, you know, doing the brain training and everything. And I feel like I'm a lot more confident. I always, you know, dealt with issues with me. It was a lot of issues with anxiety and, you know, physical symptoms of anxiety. I'd, you know, sweaty palms, and I'd know that I was confident. I know I wasn't nervous. You know, you could talk about this with the auctions. You know you're not nervous, but for some reason your palms are sweaty. You're shaking. You don't, your heart's racing. Why is this happening? I'm calm. So she can actually, through the QEEG and through the brain training, can actually pinpoint what's going on, and then a protocol gets developed through comparing your brain map with thousands and thousands of other brain maps to try to regulate that part of your brain that's having issues.
Melissa, you said this has been around 40 years, but I would also think there's been a lot of developments. Care to gaze into the crystal ball and kind of tell us where brain mapping is going and brain training is going?
Yes, definitely. The software has just gone over the roof. So back when it was first created, they used one single site at the top of the head, and you had to send the recording off, and it would take 3 to 4 weeks to get the report back. So now we could get the report instantly, have the protocol instantly, and start the next day. We also do dual site, so we can actually work right and left, front, back, or single site. So depending on the situation, you know, each one's different, but depending where it says.
And you said, I mean, you started the interview by talking about neurological. Any other categories you want to make sure and focus on and say, I mean, is it because you said neurological, but then you say peak performance. And one of the things I think of with Gwinnett Business Radio is business leaders, managers, think people who think, you know, how could this help me perform better at my job? I mean, I don't want to throw things out there that aren't true. But no. I mean, besides neurological disorders, what else would you suggest?
Yes, the peak performance as well as stress. I mean, all business owners are under a lot of stress. And I realized that opening my own business and having two offices. And I'm actually working on opening a third office in Vining. So stress relief. I mean, this is we can also call it a guided exercise for the brain. So, or a guided meditation almost. So for that type of symptom, maybe too much stress or wanting to get that peak performance, just being in that relaxed state and being able to focus and get things done. So.
All right. You're listening to Melissa Hergert with Brain Corps of Georgia. And Georgia, I know you had a question. So I'm going to go ahead. Since you're a journalist anyway, I'm going to let you ask the question.
Okay. Well, what struck me, and it sounds so invigorating and focused and centered, which is what I do my yoga for, and exercise. And the most important thing that I try to do is find that center. How is this different from that exercise of yoga or meditation or exercise that gets you to that spot? What sets it apart? And is it FDA approved?
Yes, actually, there is FDA approval. And the difference is some people that have tried yoga, like I had one lady who actually tried yoga. She's a court reporter and just always stressed and always needing to be focused, but she was dealing with a lot of anxiety. And she loves yoga, but still, her brain has been working this way for so many years, trying to stay focused and the stress of, you know, getting her work done for the court reporting. The yoga was beneficial, but we needed to focus in exactly where in the brain that was going on. So exercising, of course, is wonderful. I mean, if someone comes in and is doing neurofeedback, they need to be on a better eating schedule, habits. They need to be exercising. And then that's just going to help with it's the word neuroplasticity is thrown out a lot. But that is those new neurons created in the brain where there's good connections and healthy connections, and you're getting an actual feedback, real-time live feedback of where the brain's working, and it becomes a permanent change in the brain.
Can I follow up with the one question that always plagues me?
See, I told you, he's a journalist.
I'm sorry. I will shut my mouth, but what's it cost?
Okay, well, it does cost a good amount, but it's worth it because it is a permanent change. And if you add up how much money goes into medications over 1 year, it's a lot less. A session is around $125 a session. So, and you do need to do 20 sessions.
I thought you were going to say like thousands of dollars. I mean, you said a lot of money.
It's reasonable. It depends how some people look at it. Like you said, people see the quality in service and goods, and this service is a very respectable service. Well, and
I think you nailed it. Compare it to what you're paying in medication in those particular situations.
Absolutely.
I do have people
come in and I show them, like, you got to do 20 visits. That's the minimum it's going to take to make this permanent change. This is the cost, so it's going to be around $2,000. You know, I include good fish oil, DHA, fish oil for the brain. And I even provide other services like hair mineral testing so we could see how the nutrition is, things like that. But if they feel like, oh, that's too much, then they're not serious about changing their health. So when they're ready, they'll come back, hopefully.
Right. Talk about your locations. You mentioned you got a new one coming up soon, but go ahead and talk about your locations.
Yes, so Marietta is where I first started, and I'm right by Marietta Square, and I am in there. It's my office, and I rent space to a licensed counselor. So this is very psychology-based. If I am working with someone who's gone through PTSD or any traumas, emotional traumas, then I do have a counselor available, and I'm actually in my master's for counseling right now as well. But in Buford, out here in Gwinnett, I'm in with Dr. Joe Crisman, and he's the Atlanta Falcons chiropractor, and he just recently got sworn in by the governor to be on the board of chiropractic for the state, so that's really exciting. And in his office, he offers chiropractic, hyperbaric, oxygen chamber, tons of therapies for athletes that have been injured, so obviously, he works with the Falcons, so he works with college as well as young athletes as well. And then my office in Vinings will also be with a chiropractor who works with many families and different
Types
of people.
So there's three of you.
Yeah.
You got to split yourself up. For those that would like to find out more, that they're very intrigued by this, where can they find out more information?
So they could go to BrainCoreGeorgia.com, and we also have a Facebook page, BrainCore Georgia, on Facebook. And the phone number that you could reach, it goes directly to me. I'm right now doing everything. I have my niece assist me once in a while, but my phone number is 678-792-0213.
Great. Thank you, Melissa. Herger from Brain Corps of Georgia. And Phil, thanks to you as well for coming in. I just spent 3.5 weeks overseas with a bunch of sports journalists from around the world. The Brits were trying to tell me all about cricket, and the guys from New Zealand were telling me all about rugby. So they would have loved to have met you. Are you still playing? Are you?
Actually, yeah, we have the World Cup coming up here in September, October. We have a long summer tour. I'll be gone from about a week and a half from now until mid-October. We'll be overseas. We'll actually be in England. I've been to Azerbaijan, actually. We don't really play rugby there, but I've been there to stop over to go to the country of Georgia. It was small.
It's like, why?
And yep. Rugby's actually on NBC.
Well, I saw when was it the Sevens?
Sevens. Yeah, they do the Sevens. That's always on NBC.
Or the All Blacks came over and played in Chicago recently.
The All Blacks came over, and I started in that game. And
I'm so sorry.
We played in front of 70,000 people. We got beat pretty good.
I'm sorry I brought that up. You might need another session with
it. Like the Monstars from Space Jam. They're interesting characters.
That was. I actually was watching that. Yep.
That's awesome.
It's a good game.
Look at Mike dropping some rugby knowledge.
No, I have no rugby knowledge. There were too many scrums. I had some issues with the scrums, and the guys from New Zealand were explaining there's actually two different professional leagues in New Zealand and one that has less of the scrums, because it seemed like every 30 seconds the whistle would blow, there'd be another scrum. Why? As an unknowledgeable fan, I had no – and we could talk after the show. I never understood why. My New Zealand's friends were telling me there's a league there where they got rid of that because that kind of was – hurting the game a little bit.
Man. Mike, I know you're looking to segue to the next interview. So as you're sitting there trying to figure out how to do that, I will help you.
Okay.
There's a giant image behind you of Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta on our wall here in the Subaru of Gwinnett, Atlanta studios. And that image was made by Speed Pro Imaging. So Speed Pro Imaging in Marietta helps businesses stand out the way this wall stands out. By providing high-quality large graphics. It is high quality and it is very large. If you can imagine it, they can make it, whether it's a vehicle wrap, trade show display, banner, event graphics, wall graphics, or more. SpeedPro Imaging Marietta is the place for you. Visit speedpromarietta.com.
Well done, Steve.
Take me seriously, Mike.
I actually used to
I'm
do these
I'm not a journalist
reads,
like George, but come on.
You do them so much better than me. We should have George read one of them.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd
we'll
be cool.
We'll have to do that afterward, and then we can play it.
All right. Our next guest from Dave & Buster's is the general manager, Stacy Pruitt. And, man, we had some great guests already. So, Stacy, we only have a minute and a half, and I apologize. No, I'm just kidding.
That's good. I'll be quick.
No, I would not do that to you. But at top of the show, Steve and I were just waxing poetic about Dave & Buster's. We've been there many, many times. We have spent probably more money than we want to admit. We've probably helped your salary and so forth.
We do appreciate it.
Talk about Dave & Buster's. And for those that haven't been there yet, I don't know why, but what can we find there?
Well, I mean, we're kind of an all-in-one place for family entertainment, for young adults who want to get together and party, for corporate events, for social events. I mean, my location at Sugarloaf is 63,000 square foot, so it's large. We have 16 bowling lanes in it. We have about 260 different games. We have a full dining area, seats about 220 with high-definition screens. Our largest screen's about 20 foot, and then we have high-def TVs all around, so we turn it into a giant sports bar on game days.
Great place to watch rugby, huh?
Great place to watch rugby. Absolutely. Let's get the rugby channel. But we turn into a giant sports bar on game days for college and pro football. And, of course, we have all our local sports on, whether it's the Braves or the Hawks or the Falcons or whoever. So it's a great place to bring your family. It's unlike most places. You can come there and eat and spend the next 4 or 5 hours there. We also have 16 billiard tables in there, so it's
there's a place for the adults to kind of do their mom and dad can go do their thing, and the kids can go back in the game room and don't worry about them.
Well, mom and dad can also hang out in the game room because there are some really cool games that adults like to play.
Well, and most of our games are adult oriented. We have games that are for the smaller ones, but once you start playing our games, you'll find that they're size wise and the way they're created is far more of a teenage to adult person.
Now, Stacy, you are the general manager of the Dave & Buster's at Sugarloaf Mills, also known as formerly known as Discover Mills Mall. For a second, talk a little bit about Dave & Buster's, maybe on how many locations nationwide, kind of how big is Dave & Buster's?
Absolutely. We're 75 locations nationwide now. We have three here in Atlanta. We are about to experience a pretty large growth spurt, better than we've ever done as a company. We just went public back in October and doing very well with that. And our symbol, by the way, is play, so very appropriate for us under NASDAQ. But we are opening up about 18 to 20 Dave & Buster's over the next 2 years nationwide. And we continue to grow at a very, very fast rate. When other places, the economy has been kind of rough, we've continued to grow and open up more stores.
Now, being on Gwinnett Business Radio and having the location here at Sugarloaf Mills, talk a little bit, and I'll confess I've kind of known this, talk a little bit about your connection with some of the local businesses, the chamber, the fact that beyond the billiard tables, beyond the games, you also are a cool little location for businesses and business groups. Talk a little bit about what they can get.
Absolutely. We do a lot of corporate events. That is a big chunk of our business. You know, we also do a lot of social events. We have packages for, little Sally or little Billy's birthday party, and we do a ton of those. But we're also able to, we just recently had a company who bought out our building for the day. So we're able to accommodate on a large scale and small scale. Summertime, they did it because they wanted to do a summer outing for their company, and they had about 800 people and didn't want to take a chance on the weather. So they brought them into a controlled environment. They had the whole building to themselves. They could bowl, play billiards, watch TV or, sports events. Play the games, of course, and have everything customized just for them. So we work and we base everything exactly on what the customer needs. And with that, we do a lot of corporate events.
So, Mike, for the company event that you're hosting for all of us, you need to buy out the
Business
building.
Radio X.
Yeah, the Gwinnett Business Radio. Just Gwinnett Business Radio. You need to buy it out for
Stacy,
us.
Stacy, I guess we have to have a conversation now.
We're going to have to talk.
Talk about the specials, the weekly specials, summer specials. You got a lot of stuff going on there.
We do. Weekly specials. We have our tacos and games on Tuesdays where you can come in and get dollar tacos. Which is a great deal.
There's your business on Tuesday. There we go.
There's our Business Radio X event right there.
Yeah, you can't find dollar tacos anymore. So you can come in and get dollar tacos all day on Tuesdays. And we also have half price Wednesdays, which is probably one of our biggest. We've been doing this for a long time. It's one of our biggest promotions, and yet some folks still don't know about it. And which is. Of course, is if you saw a busy word yesterday, you would think that everyone in Gwinnett County knew about it. But basically, from open to close, everything in the building's half price. As far as all the games, billiards are half price, bowling's half price. All the games are automatically set at half price from open to close. So when you're coming in as a mom or dad and you're bringing your kids in, you're getting that $10 card. It's actually a $20 card on Wednesday. So it's a great deal. It's a great family value that we do. It's not going away. And it is something that we look forward to every week. It's a great getaway for the summer, especially when we have these pop-up showers and it's 95 degrees plus outside. And you, as a parent of three, that's just not where I want to be. So unless I'm in the pool. But, you know, you can come and do that and, like I say, and really get a good value. We also have our Eat and Play Combos, which started $16.99. And you get a choice of one of eight entrees. And these are full-size, you know, fill-you-up entrees. Plus a $10 game card for $16.99. So it is a great deal.
Been there, done that, yes.
Yeah. Doing the math.
And we do that open to close Sunday through Thursday, and then we do it up until 5 o'clock on Friday and Saturdays.
I love all our guests here in this room. I want Stacy's job, though. Going to Dave and Buster's every day. How cool a job is that?
I just want Stacy's VIP pass. We could talk about your job because I'm sure there's good things and there's not so good things. But
true.
It's a fun place to work. Is that fair?
It's an awesome place to work. One of our core values is fun, of course. And you know, when I'm speaking in front of the chamber, or I'm a chairman's club member of the chamber, have been for several years, and when I'm speaking in front of the chamber or, you know, we're having an event, they ask me what I do, first thing I say is I'm in the fun business, and because that's kind of what you think of when you talk about Dave and Buster. So it's a great environment. We value our hourly team members highly, and we have 136 hourly team members just at that one location, in my location. So we are a pretty sizable employer, and if you add our other Gwinnett location, off Duluth here, or in Duluth, you're looking at well over 250 employees from in Gwinnett County alone.
I have to ask this question because my kids have asked me, who is Dave and who is Buster?
That's a great question, and they are real people. Dave and Buster started the story, short version of it. One had a restaurant. The other one had a billiard room and game room back in the late 70s, early 80s, or late 70s actually, and they noticed that while they were waiting to eat in the restaurant, they were going over and playing games in the warehouse next door. So they kind of got together and said, look, you know, let's combine our resources here and make this happen. So after a lot of planning, and both are extremely great entrepreneurs, 1982, they opened the first Dave and Buster's, and a lot of folks don't realize that, you know, we're a 33-year-old company. We're not a fly-by-night. We haven't been around for 10 years. We've been around since 1982, so, and we have just, you know, made our brand better and better as we went along. We're under great leadership now. Dave and Buster has retired. Unfortunately, Dave just recently passed away a few months ago. Buster is still, although we retired from the company, still very, very much involved, especially with our charity work and our national charity. And he is just an incredible ambassador, and he's one of these guys, when you meet him for the first time, he will make an incredible impression on your life.
Stacy, sometimes, a lot of times, we'll ask business owners, and we'll say, hey, you know, you've got competitors. What sets you apart? You know, you said you've been around since 1982, and I would argue that Dave & Buster's has been often imitated, but rarely duplicated. What makes Dave & Buster's be able to survive that long and honestly see some competitors come and go?
There's a couple of things. One, I think we have a just the way we operate as a whole. I've been in the restaurant business for 28 years. I've been with Dave & Buster's for 9 now. Dave & Buster's as a company, we operate totally different. And I've been a partner with Concepts. I'm not going to name who they are, but I've been a partner with them. I've done the investment thing. I've done that with other concepts. But I think it starts with our top. We're very light up top. there's you know, there's two people between me and the CEO of the company. So we're very light up top. We believe in something that a lot of restaurants that doesn't have. We live in huge quality of life for our management team. So I think if you're starting it up top, then it's natural that's going to feed through. So it's pretty easy for us to have fun with our hourly team members. And when we're having fun with them and they're having fun at work, then that translates to a really good guest experience. As far as not being able being imitated but not really duplicated, it takes something on a pretty grand scale to duplicate D&B. And unless you've got that kind of backing, it's really hard to do. It's especially, you know, we're not on every corner for a reason. You know, we're in Atlanta with 6 million people. We have 3 locations. So it's very hard. We go into a city, and when we do, we make a big splash. We just opened Greenville, South Carolina, last fall, and it's our first location in South Carolina, and it's doing incredibly well. I'm from Anderson, so people from months on out, it was on the news. My dad would call me, "Hey, it's on the news. Dave and Buster's is coming. It's on the news. They're showing the construction." And I'm like, "Yes, I know." So for a long time, even out, the buzz was building about D&B because we have that reputation, and people know they're going to get consistency across the board, and they know that we believe in giving somebody an experience.
Stacy, before we let you go, I want you to talk about the charities and mm-hmm. the nonprofit work you do. I see you've got an auction coming up, and I was going to ask you if you needed an auctioneer, but I see it's an online auction, so that's a little bit different. But talk about all the great work you guys are doing. George is like, dang, there's a chance for some business right there. Talk about the great work you guys do in the community.
Absolutely. Well, as a D&B, and it's not just my location, but this is something, personal belief, I think that in order to be successful in the community, it's not just about what you do. It's not about the money you bring in. It's not about how many guests you get. I think you need to be a very good partner of the community and a good steward in the community as well. So I've been at this location for 8 years now as GM, and from the beginning, I tried to invest back into the community a lot. I do a lot of work with the chamber. I do a lot of work with Children's Health Care of Atlanta. I do several events throughout the year with them. I do a lot of work with the Falcons and their different charities. And one of the things we do, especially at my location, when we decide to help a charity, whether it's Challenge Child out of Gainesville, whether it's the different things we do, we go all in, which means when we do something, we don't charge a penny. So if we bring you know, 100 people in to raise money, there's no charge for anything. We provide the food, provide the space. We do everything at our cost. Our national charity, which I'd like to talk about for just a second, is Make-A-Wish, which kind of just makes sense because we're Dave and Buster's and we're fun and that's what we do. And Make-A-Wish just makes sense. We took that on as a national charity 3 years ago and have really done really, really well with it. This year, the Atlanta market's doing something a little bit different. We're doing an online auction. We've already got several items, and man, they range from the community has been so good. We've got Falcons stuff. We've got everything from Matt Ryan signed footballs to we got Nashville packages because our region consists of Nashville and St. Louis. And so we've got these great packages from all over the Southeast and even the Midwest that's going to be on this online auction. And it starts July 6th, runs through the end of July. And you can go on and start bidding as of July 6th. And the website, if I can give that out, is 32auctions.com/D&B Wish. So D as in Dave and B as in Buster, Wish. So 32auctions.com/D&B Wish. You can go to the site now if you want.
The D and A-N-D.
A-N-D, correct.
Spell it out.
Yeah, D&B Wish. You can go to the site now. You can already start seeing a lot of the stuff that's listed. Like I say, we have Chipper Jones signed baseballs. We have Roddy White signed jerseys. We have, everything from gift certificates, local restaurants, to, like I say, packages in Nashville. We have all kinds of stuff on there. And we're also going to be doing our first, and it's going to be really cool, and this is one of the auction items that you can bid on for you golf lovers out there. We're going to have our first Dave and Buster's golf tournament for Make-A-Wish. Everything goes to Make-A-Wish, every penny, and we're going to do that November 9th at TPC Sugarloaf, which if you like golf, you know how hard it is to get on TPC Sugarloaf. And it's my favorite course in town. I play it a few times a year, and we're going to be there November 9th. And one of the items in the online auction is a foursome in our tournament. And it is starting off at less than half the price that people are going to have to pay to play on TPC.
All right, Stacey, put this in your calendar. You and I are going to talk on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about that tournament.
Absolutely.
And get the word out. Stacey, great stuff. Appreciate everything you do. I mean, obviously, I see you at all the chamber events, all the businesses. So you don't just talk the talk. You do walk the walk. Give us your website so people can find out more about Dave & Buster's and get the address and all that.
Absolutely. You can go to DaveAndBusters.com, and you can once you go to our national website, you can choose what's location, whether it's Sugarloaf here in Gwinnett County or Duluth store or Marietta store if you're here in the Atlanta area. Phone number locally for us at Sugarloaf location is 678-847-5400. And one of our friendly front desk people will answer the phone and direct you to whatever you need.
Great stuff. Stacey, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Always good to see you. Stacey Pruitt from Dave & Buster's here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Big thank you to our other guests as well, George Franco and Rick Sammons. I love that name, by the way, Rick, from Red Clown Auctions and Bullseye Auctions, and Melissa Hergert from Brain Corps of Georgia, and Philip Teal from the professional rugby team USA Eagles. And Stephen, any parting words before I say goodbye?
You know, normally this is where I put in some pithy comment, but I'm just still weeping and so thankful that you're back, Mike.
I'm glad to be back, too. Gosh, I didn't realize how emotional this was
going to
get.
I missed you.
Yeah, okay. We're going to have a little group hug.
Yeah, that's right.
As soon as the show's over. A reminder that you can enjoy this program or any of our other Gwinnett Business Radio programs anytime, day or night, 24/7, by visiting GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. You can also download this show anytime on iTunes. Be sure to follow us on Twitter. It's at Gwinnett Radio X. And like us on Facebook at Gwinnett Radio X. For Stephen and our producer Trey and everybody else here, I'm Mike Salmon, and we'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Lunch at Dave & Buster's.